Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
This is a conversation that I personally will long revere, and I appreciate very much the time of our guest, and I hope those of you listening will remember it as well. Dr. Zudi Jasser is the founder and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. He has now for years, really going back to, as I recall, right after 9/11, been a champion within the American Muslim community of the kinds of principles and values and priorities that I think we all hope all Muslims would have. And yet, Zudi, what you've confronted in the course of your efforts to speak out for a peaceable, tolerant Islam that respects a division between the mosque and the state, reveres the Constitution of the United States, isn't trying to supplant it with Sharia, you have confronted not just the violent jihad that is much in the news these days, of course, but also a more stealthy, insidious kind of jihad within the Muslim American community. Talk a little bit about the Muslim Brotherhood and its organs and operations here and what that's meant for your efforts, as well as what it means for our security.
Yeah, and I would even tell you it's not that insidious. The violent, it's sort of like confronting drunk driving. You know, if you don't confront the alcoholism, the driving is simply the last moment, and you're not going to defeat that by simply waiting for them to grab their keys and get in the car. There is a program in which there is the intoxicant of political Islam and the supremacism that the Islamic State identity ultimately fuels. So the radicalization process, unfortunately, Frank, our society, government, media, when we focus after every one of these attacks upon the militants, they talk about radicalization, and really the whole conversation that we're talking about publicly is what I call operationalization, when they decide to put a military vest on and get weapons and start killing people. But radicalization, most of the Islamic organizations in this country are part of the radicalization process, which is a separatist movement that demonizes the West, that makes Muslims feel like they're under siege. The Council on American Islamic Relations, the Islamic Society of North America, these are Islamist groups that get their inspiration from a sense of collectivism of Muslims, that we should be a political entity, that we, where they're a majority, they should be an Islamic state. And thus, that ultimately is how the Nidal Hassans of the world starts. They believe that ultimately their allegiance should be to the global ummah, the Muslim community, and ultimately the Muslim army. So the only way to counter this sense of wanting to die for the Islamic State is helping our youth develop the sense of rather dying for America, dying for secular liberal democracy. And, you know, I laid out in the National Review yesterday a piece on what is our program and our strategy with this Muslim reform movement. And the bottom line is that we are inherently decentralized as anti-Islamists. So this isn't going to happen overnight. It took us years until we finally realized that many of us, be it left of center or right, were doing the same thing. And we needed to come together with a platform, which this declaration gives us, and unite around it, and thus use that as a way to separate who is part of that program so that there's no more debate, Frank, about who is a Muslim Brotherhood entity and who is not.
Yeah, it's again a very helpful fault line. I personally think it kind of is synonymous with the fault line of Sharia. You clearly are rejecting, as you say, this man-created doctrine or ideology. And I want to just ask you, Zudi, because this is obviously now much on the minds of a lot of Americans. We're hearing the Republican presidential candidate struggling with how to get their hands around, or their heads around, I should say, what we're confronting. A number of them have adopted, as I think it's fair to say, an improvement over countering violent extremism. But they're coming up with terms like radical Islamic terrorism. And I'm wondering if really based on what you've just said, that there isn't something beyond terrorism that's afoot here. It's kind of pre-violent jihad that is also to be worried about, not just the violent kind, isn't it?
Well, in my piece I laid out in National Review, I said, Imagine fighting the Cold War, and all we filtered were for, do you believe in the imperialist Soviet desires of their communist program? No. We asked people, are you a member of the Communist Party? We filtered in the hundreds of people studying it for even socialist ideology, let alone communist ideology, because they all gravitate around that same center of gravity, which is a collectivist mentality. So Muslim collectivists that believe in the Islamist dominance versus those Muslims that reject collectivism under political entities, or in Arabic we call Harikat Islamiyah, which are Islamic movements. So those political movements that can win elections in Tunisia, in Egypt, that would win an election in Saudi Arabia if the royal family left, the bottom line, though, is that the only difference between the royal families and these populist movements is one is a corporate Islamist structure with a board of directors of thugs, and the other is a populist movement. So we need to, if we're going to have a sense of where we're headed with a vision, that vision needs to be a third pathway to embrace the prisoners of conscience, the minorities, the Sunni reformers, the Shia reformers. That ultimately is the only program, and it really broke my heart to watch the debates and not hear any of the candidates lay out a doctrine or a vision for what they see above this sort of battle against terrorism. And we're learning today the Saudis themselves that supposedly are creating this alliance. The alliance is a sham. Half the countries didn't even know they were in it because the Saudis themselves are the sort of progenitors of this entire ISIS ideology.
Yeah. I'm told they're also creating an Islamic army to defend against enemies of the faith. That is further evidence of a problem there, I think. Zudi, I've got two other issues that are very important that I really would like to talk to you about quickly, and we're almost out of time. One is another of these Islamic movements, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and its war on freedom of speech, which seems to have been basically embraced or at least accommodated by the Obama administration and, frankly, to some extent, the Bush administration. If you talk a little bit about that. And then secondly, before we run out of time, if you can, you are, of course, your family from Syria. I know you've been active in trying to help the plight of the Syrian people there. Your thoughts on how we can assure that we're not bringing in the name of humanitarianism, more jihadists in trying to do something that might be helpful to people there in Syria, among elsewhere.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. Those are two very important issues. First, with the OIC. At the top of our website that we just threw together, it says, ideas do not have rights, human beings do. That's why you'll never see any of us reformers use the word Islamophobia. Islamophobia was created by the OIC as a concept in the 90s in order to suppress any criticism, not of Muslims, but of Islam. And that's how they choke any type of ijtihad and reform.
Their program of action, 10 years on, that's where we are. Exactly right.
Exactly. So, yes, we talk about there's some bigotry against Muslims that exists, but to call it Islamophobia is a way of making the West, supposedly the bastion of freedom, suppress any criticism of Islam, and that's what's happening from the left. As far as Syria is concerned, I think we need a task force. I said, you know, listen, we need to pause all refugee resettlement until we have a filter for jihadism and especially for this Islamist political movement, as we did in the Cold War against communism. And that task force, once it does that, we need to embrace Muslim reformers and those who are escaping both the evil of the Assad regime and the evil of ISIS, because that narrative of what America stands for, if we shut down and say no Muslim immigration, you're actually going to abandon the war of ideas, which is the only long-term solution. But we shouldn't do that in a suicidal fashion. We need to have a task force that begins to set up, I think, our declaration as an example of how to tell which Muslims are with us and which ones are against.
It's a tremendous public service, Zudi Jasser, as has been both that you've rendered in uniform and in so many other regards, now in the private sector as a medical doctor in Phoenix and as the president and founder of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. I am privileged to know you and consider you a friend and to have had this very important conversation with you. I look forward to doing it so again soon. Zudi, in the meantime, stay well and stay safe. I hope to have a conversation with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.